missing out there, having the FOMO, fear of missing out.
FOMO. That just sounds I have like FOMO a slow, a lot. You lousy FOMO.
Yeah. There. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So this is the time for you to really relish in all things winter. And so we're here to bring to you.
Yeah. Fun things you can deal with in the winter.
Yeah.
Notice I said deal because some of them are not so great. Right. All right. So this is one that I can't believe, but okay.
Okay. This is this is how to solve the 11 biggest seasonal issues that couples face.
Okay. Okay. Is polar dick one of them? I have something about that.
Polar
dick.
All right. We'll put a pin in that.
Okay. And come back to it.
And come back to it. And you'll go in detail about
okay, we'll put an ice pick in that okay. And come back.
Okay, so winter months can take a toll on relationships.
Yes, okay.
Yes, yeah, so ice cold hands, trying to cuddle in.
True. No, yeah. No, and feet.
Yeah.
And ice cold feet. Yeah. I will punch someone in the throat if they try to put a cold foot on me in bed. I don't like that.
Yeah, you're coming off the holidays in January, and
you've already had those relationship problems from yeah. The new year.
And now you're looking at Valentine's Day.
Right in the face.
Yes.
So staring down the barrel of Valentine's Day.
Yeah, so there's some winter problems, and here's a couple of simple solutions.
Okay.
To keep you smiling until spring.
These are problems you didn't know you had.
Yes.
And solutions you didn't know you needed.
Yes.
Okay.
Number one, you're spending too much time with your guy.
Yeah, because it's cabin fever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to be really careful in December who you pick to spend the winter with
mm-hmm.
because you're going to be stuck with them.
Yeah.
You got to make it till February 14th.
Right. Because your partner is the only person you've talked to in the past week because you live together and haven't ventured outside and you're bound to get on each other's nerves.
Well, apparently you work at home as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although Greg and I do work at home. Sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go outside and stand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it can be too much.
Yeah.
Cabin fever.
Yeah. So what you have to do is schedule phone and Skype dates with long-distant buddies. So it'd be like, I have a Skype call with Claudine.
Okay. So, but
at 2.
It sounds like phone date.
Yeah.
So it's, okay.
It sounds like you're cheating. But
yeah.
You know,
I'm just going to go in the other room and Skype some sex real fast.
No. This is a friendship.
Okay. A friendly call.
Yeah.
That still sounds like an affair, but okay.
Yeah, just talking to other people, even if your partner is in the next room, helps because you're happiest when you're tending to all aspects of yourself.
Yeah.
And you need to engage in more than one person.
Where does this person live? In the Arctic? Like, can't you go outside?
That's
a little
what I'm
bit?
Saying. I'm saying. You know, but I guess, you know.
Unless you're at like McMurdo Antarctic Station and you just can't get outside.
Because you really, if you live in a house in the suburbs, especially.
Oh, I didn't even think
house,
about that.
First of all, you got to get out of your driveway.
But yeah.
Your house is set up to keep you in there.
Yeah, yeah. You have everything you need. You have ostensibly plenty of space.
Yes.
So I was thinking about an apartment. I'm like, can't you just go to the bodega, talk to those guys? No, you can't.
No, you can't. And then your neighbors, it's like a whole thing if you go out and start talking to other people.
And then
people know your business.
If you're even further out, like where I'm from, mm-hmm. let's forget it.
Yeah.
There's no gathering point. Okay.
Okay. Number two, you're fighting over outdoor chores. So.
Again, Katie and I are like, blink, blink.
Yeah.
What? Crickets.
Like walking the dog or shoveling the snow.
I actually like walking the dog. And so it's funny. If you have a small dog, I think it's particularly humorous.
Really?
As they try to navigate the snow.
Oh, their little feet digging
yes,
into it,
yes.
Shivering.
They're trying to hop, but they can't get in the air.
Yeah, so you should take turns doing each task or have the person who cares most about it do it.
That's
the worst idea.
This dog can starve and pee on the floor for all I care before I set foot outside. Yeah, it always comes down to who is bothered by it the most when it's chores.
Yeah, but this is the thing, though. You have to have a schedule with the chores because they're not going to do themselves, and they have to be done on a regular
basis.
True.
This dog ain't going to walk itself. You're right. But you know what I'm saying. It's like dishes. It always comes down to who can stand the dishes being dirtiest the longest. So the person who has the least tolerance for it ends up doing
the dishes,
chore, even if you have a schedule.
Yeah.
Because the other person's like, I don't care if there's mold. I can hold out.
Yeah. But that's the thing. That's when you, that's the problem.
That's when you pull out the schedule.
Yeah. No matter what you think about it.
Then I think it becomes a Shining pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You go to the schedule, it's just blank pages. Just tons and tons of blank pages.
All work and no play.
Yeah, it's all work and no play. 9 a.m. 10 a.m. All work and no play.
Yeah. A storm ruins your plans and causes tension.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
your plan to go outside and get the hell away from each other?
Yeah. They say, well, no, think about all the what-ifs that could happen during the day and plan for them.
Okay.
So if your child has a snow day and your partner, you and your partner have to work, know the plan is, plan B, that you will take them to Aunt Sally's. So you already know in advance how to handle it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you should have that anyway. I find it odd because having traveled a little bit in Norway and in Iceland, the snow days here are bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, deal with it, school. Figure it out. What are people supposed to do? People can't stay home just because it's snowing with their kids.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, we're just not
equipped for
it. Equipped for it, and people don't know what to do.
I don't remember having a lot of snow days when we were kids. They were rare. Mm-hmm. And it was when it was big snow.
Yeah.
And we were psyched. Mm-hmm. But sometimes in the city, I'm like, there's not even enough snow for kids to play in. This is not a snow day.
In the 70s, it had to be 2 feet of snow.
Yes.
And then otherwise, get on the road.
Yeah, get on the road. Put chains on.
Yeah.
Chains on the bus. Let's go.
Yeah, in places like Aspen, you don't, there's no snow days.
No.
You
there wouldn't be. You wouldn't ever go to school in the wintertime.
Yeah.
All right, what do we have?
All right. Number four, you're cooped up and arguing over which TV show to watch.
Nowadays, really? You don't have another screen
in
the house?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like, get to the other screen.
Yes. You know what? Failing that, crack a book.
Yeah. There's an idea.
There's an idea.
But here's another idea. Compromise. Take turns.
Yeah, take turns.
And then don't just sit there and sigh during your partner's
show.
Yeah,
don't
and look
ruin
around.
Columbo for your partner.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's the same episode with Leonard Nimoy. Just let them watch it. Then you can watch MacGyver or whatever.
Yeah.
This is a very nerdy household.
Yeah, and after you watch MacGyver with your man, then you can cuddle up and talk about what you watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And MacGyver? That's going to be a great conversation.
You know, many women complain that men don't share enough, so this is a good way to get him to open up.
About the show you just watched? Tell me about the show we just watched.
Do you think it can really do it?
Yeah.
With a piece of gum?
What would you have done?
Sure, you're on the same page
or
with your expectations.
Or be real. I'm a very uptight and controlling person. Everyone knows this. I'll plan it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say, hey, here are some things that I would like to do. Please show up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel bad about that. That's better than feeling, you know, sad because you didn't get what you wanted.
Yes. And there's another thing that everybody has their own love language. They express their love in certain ways. Some people do it through money.
I was going to say cash.
Yeah. That's a thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If
that's legitimate.
Yeah. If you're one of these people who are generous and want to show your affection for somebody else, you buy them gifts.
Yeah.
Just
that's fine.
Know, other people like to talk and express it through words.
I'm like, really? Through and people like to do new nice things
do
for
nice
each other.
Things like clean the kitchen or give you back rubs.
Nothing says I love you like a foot rub.
Yes.
Just keep that in mind.
And these are different languages. So you have to recognize your partner in the language that they speak and realize that's what they're trying to do.
I speak foot rub fluently, and I know several dialects of foot rub.
And cash.
And cash, yeah. I'm fluent in cash also. Yeah.
And then you have to realize what yours are, what his are, and then make sure you both know what each other's are. So you can recognize them and then also do the right thing.
Okay. I have a hard time, though, people getting upset about receiving cash. Because I think sometimes the person who's giving it is like, doesn't want to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, I bought jewelry last year. She didn't like it. I tried taking her to the restaurant. The waitstaff was surly. The meal was undercooked. Like, let me just go with cash. And that way you can get what you want. Because I think what people are thinking when they give cash.
Yeah. I think that's okay.
I think that's fine, too. Yeah. We love cash.
Okay. Another disagreement. You can't agree on the thermostat.
Okay, this one I don't get. Someone put on a hat.
Yeah.
So the other person can go nude. I don't know what to say. But I always think of it this way, because usually it's men who want it to be cooler.
Yes.
Right? And women want it to be warmer.
Yes.
Gentlemen, if you make it really hot in your apartment, you have a better chance of a nude partner.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's true. Keep that in mind.
Right.
Even if you, you know, you yourself might have to get nude.
Right. There's going to be nudity involved.
There's going to be nudity if the thermostat's up.
Yes.
Win-win.
Yeah, but always, you know, the cold person can bundle up with layers.
Yeah, the cold person can always put more clothes off. The hot person can only take off so much.
That's what, exactly what it says in the article. You can only take off so many clothes, and then you're compromised.
I'm always cold, but I don't care because I always have a scarf and hat with me. Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
Good. Oh, here's another one. You're both gaining weight.
Okay.
Because
it's called living.
Yeah. It's harder to exercise, and many wintry comfort foods are loaded with calories. And
in all of them.
Yes. It could lead to extra cushion. Okay. As they say.
For the pushing, as it were.
It's not exactly a libido booster, since you may feel unattractive and sluggish.
Just close your eyes. Yeah. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's like, this is a human being. Yes. This is what human beings look like. Yeah,
ladies, they're not going to care if you put on a couple of pounds.
No.
Gentlemen, same thing.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Nobody really cares.
You can say we're going to work it off together.
Yeah.
In the bed.
The only people that care are the people that have the magazine ads that are telling you to take it off. Yes. They want you to spend money.
They want you to buy something.
Yeah. Those are the only people that care. Otherwise, nobody cares.
No. Plus, it's kind of interesting. I feel like everyone always puts on a couple of pounds in the wintertime. It makes sense. And then it's some motivation if you want to do something when it's not wintertime to, like, try to lose those couple pounds or not. Yeah. I don't know. It's normal, right?
It is.
To fluctuate a little bit with the seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. People, you just know you. It's a natural thing to get hungry in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Your body just wants
it's
to
It's cold.
Food.
Yeah.
So don't fight it, people.
No. Eat.
Hey, you know what, listeners? Go ahead.
Have that chocolate.
Yeah.
And loaf of bread. Turn up the thermostat.
Okay. The lack of daylight is making you both moody.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen if you, you know, take advantage of any available sunlight and go outside for just a few minutes during the day if you can.
Yeah, I try to do this.
Yeah.
Especially because I have dark skin.
Yeah.
I try to get at least 15 minutes a day. And sometimes people look at me, like when I'm waiting for the bus, sometimes I'll just like move away from the line and stand in the shaft of light, of sunlight. People are like, what's going on? I'm like, just soaking up some D, man.
Yeah.
Like I feel like, you know, a lizard on a rock, but it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, get yourself tested and see what your vitamin D levels are.
Yeah. Get one of those lamps.
Yeah. I'm low, so I have to take 1,000 milligrams a day.
Really?
Yeah.
You're pale. No?
Yeah, see, I get no
sunlight. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying, like, I thought it would be easier for you to get some of the vitamin D, no?
No, but most people are, especially in the city.
Yeah, because you don't get outside enough. And even when we're working out, it's inside.
Mm-hmm. So watch that D, everybody.
Watch that D.
Yeah. Okay, winter clothes are an obstacle to intimacy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, clothes are an obstacle to intimacy.
Yeah. It's harder to hug in snow-covered jackets, and it's more difficult to hold hands when wearing thick mittens.
Okay.
Plus, the shape of the clothing isn't flattering.
Yeah, it depends.
And so here's one thing you can do. Wear lacy lingerie underneath it all.
Okay.
And then when you finally peel off the layers.
5 minutes later, you're still unzipping your snowsuit.
Yeah. Ta-da.
Voila.
Check out. And voila.
Yes. Static cling.
Yeah. And then dry, flaky skin doesn't make you feel sexy.
No.
So you just.
Really?
Everybody, just get in the tub with some oil.
Yeah.
Put, I mean, not a whole tub of oil.
You could.
All right.
Go a Cleopatra style if you roll that way.
Yeah. Just a few drops of some scented oil, like lilac or lavender.
In the tub?
In the tub and soak it in. You'll be fine.
Well, I mean, so you know my story. I'm black. I oil up every day, twice a day from head to toe.
Yeah.
You can go that way too, people. But I've never done the a little bit of oil in the tub. It's an idea.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think Marilyn Monroe used to get in the tub and she'd pour a bottle of Chanel No. 5 in and soak it in.
It's a bit much.
It is. But
she had that much money and that much time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Isn't that tingly in a bad way? No?
I guess a bottle is rather small, like an ounce of it.
Oh, I was thinking one of those huge ones like you see in display.
Oh, no.
I've never used Nichelle No. 5. Chanel No. 5. Nichelle No. 5.
Nichelle No. 5. That could be a new perfume
a Star
line
Trek
for
fragrance.
Star Trek, Nichelle No. 5.
So.
Oh, copyright. Hey, you know it.
Yeah. But when we have to, like, go through her first.
Yeah.
We can't just start naming things after her. So I have something here that also might cause relationship problems in the wintertime.
Oh,
and
right.
This heads into our penis news segment,
okay.
Which is where I report on dicks in the news, scrotum stories, dick updates, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So this is something called a polar penis.
A
penis. And you know, I'm obsessed with all things polar. Like, I really want to go to the poles, but and I don't have a penis, and that's a good thing for when you visit the poles, because apparently there's a shocking condition that you can develop when you're trekking. It's basically frozen dick. It's called polar penis. So there was an Arctic explorer. He's 26 years old, and he's one of six ex-military guys in England who are doing a charity trek. I never understand these things. Like, I always think it's a great idea to raise money for charity, but whenever I read about the British things, it's always something really weird.
Yeah.
So these guys are trekking through to the South Pole following Shackleton's route.
Oh, Ernest Shackleton, one of my favorites.
And they're trying to raise $100,000 while doing it.
Okay. Ernest Shackleton was an explorer, and his boat famously got stuck in the ice forever with
for
his
a long
crew,
time.
But everybody was in a great mood.
Yeah.
And he kept the spirits
and
up.
They took amazing photographs
yeah.
of things people had never seen before. So the group has named themselves Spear 17.
Nice.
It stands for South Pole Expedition Army Reserve 2017. Mm-hmm. And they're trekking, as I said, and they said, "We found that for some reason I was getting particularly chilly in the nether regions."
Oh.
And there's a phenomenon called polar penis.
Oh.
Which sounds hilarious, but it turns out it's incredibly unpleasant and quite painful and cold. So suffering a bit from this morning, they, in order to like go against the effects of it, they basically were just stuffing large woolen hats down their junks and areas.
Oh God.
And trying to like keep things warm.
Oh God.
So basically what it is the penis starts to freeze from being in the cold.
No.
I feel like any like indigenous cultures would have had a way to deal with this.
Yes,
and these
yes.
guys just weren't thinking about
yeah.
that they had to cover everything
yeah.
properly. He also said that his right eyelid has swollen up like a balloon. He said that's pretty annoying and painful and it stops his field of view. So what is polar penis? It's basically when the penis is exposed to extremely cold temperature for a long period of time. Symptoms include pain, swelling, and then the penis lowers its temperature, basically. So the penis keeps getting colder and colder and colder. So that's pretty much it. That's a cold dick. Basically, polar penis.
Oh, that's
weird.
Really sad.
And I've watched so many documentaries and read so much stuff about Arctic exploration, and not once has polar penis come up. This guy is really blowing the lid off of it. Yes, it's just the tip of the
iceberg.
Yeah. The iceberg here for polar penis. It's weird, and I'm not kidding. Like I don't know about altitude sickness, like all the different things that can happen to you. I've never heard about polar dick.
Well, yeah, you hear about fingers and toes getting frozen, but
yeah,
you never
hear about a dick. Because wouldn't you want to protect that more than anything?
Yeah.
I don't know. Very interesting. Anyway, so that's my penis news. Gentlemen, watch out. Keep your dick warm.
My grandmother knitted a penis cozy as a joke.
But now it's not so funny. They need those cozies. You should put a patent on that.
Yeah.
And put it out there. What was your grandmother's name?
Angie.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean?
I don't know. That doesn't seem like a grandmother name to me. I want it to be more like...
Oh, you want it to be more like...
I don't know.
Da, 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 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like...
More
Lucia?
Ethnic? More Polish?
I know.
Or more Italian?
Italian?
More Italian. Angie?
Angela.
I guess Ange.
Angela.
Come yeah,
on.
I guess so.
Angela Maria.
I don't know why I didn't think that's a good grandma. I mean, obviously there's nothing wrong with that name, but you know, when you think of a grandma.
Yeah.
Like my grandmother, I had a grandma Edna.
Oh, that's a good one.
A grandma Sadie.
Nice. Those are,
you know, that seems
classic.
Like a grandma, like yeah. a, you know, a fat old grandma who gives you something that spikes your tea when
yeah.
your parents aren't looking kind of grandma.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you have?
I have the Norwegian secret to enjoying a long winter.
Okay.
So you may have heard this term come up on social media. Recently.
Was it hygge?
Kosselig.
Okay, Kosselig, all right.
Kosselig. And it means a sense of coziness. And Norwegians, this is a Norwegian word. And this
oh,
is something
yeah.
that they
I've heard
have
about
in their
this.
Culture.
They're selling it now, too, apparently.
Yes. So the idea is, you know, when the days get darker and colder here, everyone starts getting upset. They're like,
mm-hmm.
oh, no. But the Norwegians, where it's dark and cold almost
yes,
all the time,
it is.
They've learned to embrace it, and they like it, and it's part of their lifestyle.
Yeah.
So then they talk about the pleasantness of
being cozy,
what you can do. So it's people light candles, light fires, drink warm beverages, sit under fuzzy blankets.
Okay, that all sounds good.
Yeah. So it's a part of the culture. They also spend a lot of time with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
visit with each other. And friends, people you like.
This is where it starts to fall apart for our culture.
Yeah.
Like spending a lot of time with family and friends yeah. and candles.
Yeah. Because part of it, they started focusing on Norway because over here, we all start getting depressed when it gets cold out. There, mm-hmm. they don't get depressed.
No, well, either that or I would say I was only there for like 2 weeks. And we, my experience of it was that it's not that they're not depressed. It's just kind of like, I don't, you know, kind of even keel.
Yes.
I'll put it that way.
They don't view winter as something to be endured.
Yeah.
It's something to be enjoyed.
Yeah. But they also do a lot of outdoor sports.
Yes.
I mean, they make take advantage of, you know, the fact that they have, like, great outdoors
yes.
to be in.
They can't wait to go skiing
yeah.
and get outside and take advantage of the winter sports.
Yeah.
And they say there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing.
Well, I like that. No bad weather, only bad clothing.
Yes. And, you know, and get enamored with the sheer beauty of the season. You grow up... you know, some people grow up near the shore and they think summer is it. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Like where I'm from.
Yeah.
And once the summer is over, people go nowhere near the beach.
Yeah.
I like going to the beach when it's cold. You can
oh,
still walk
it.
Along the sand. There's, I don't know, it's beautiful. Just because it's not warm mm-hmm. doesn't mean you can't be there.
Yeah. So one thing people do in the U.S. is, you know, we bond about complaining about the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it, brings everybody down.
Yeah.
But you're still bonding over it. So you have to change your mindset and make small talk about being positive about the weather.
Jeez. In New York, people would be like, hey, fuck you with that shit, man. Nice weather, my ass. Can you imagine if you get in the elevator, you're like, isn't this great? This snowing.
Yeah.
Right. It might rip you to shreds.
Well, you could talk about how the cold gives you a chance to drink tea or hot chocolate all day. Could talk about ice skating or building a snowman if you want.
Once again.
Bundle up and go for a walk.
Yeah.
Knowing you'll feel warmer and happier in a few minutes.
True, yeah.
And or better yet, go with a friend. Social plans are a great reason to haul yourself out from under the covers, lady.
Yeah. Don't discount these things. Yeah. They're all very good ideas. One of the things I miss about being out in the country is being able to get outside in the fall and the wintertime. When you're in a city, you've got your parks.
Mm-hmm.
But in the wintertime, there's just, I don't know, it's not the same.
No.
You know what I mean? The parks, in a way, are kind of like... The way they're landscaped, it gives you the signal in the winter that they're kind of closed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I like getting a cup of coffee or hot chocolate and walking along, like, Fifth Avenue
mm-hmm.
and looking at the lights in the stores.
Yeah, that's nice. I like doing that kind of stuff,
yeah.
too. So I have something I found here on a UK paper, the UK Mail. Professor Ron Eccles from the Common Cold Center at Cardiff University tells us how to beat a cold in 24 hours.
Ooh.
So if you wake up. Apparently it's 7 a.m. It starts here. So
7
a.m. If you
okay.
wake up ass early and you feel like you have a cold, the first thing you should do, take a hot shower.
Oh.
They're saying you might not feel like it. I'm like, no, that's what I want to do
yeah,
when
yeah.
I wake up in the morning and I feel like a little congested. So saying take a hot shower at 7 a.m. This is something, it's like every hour, every other hour. By 8 a.m., you should be out of the shower, got your clothes on, all that kind of stuff. They recommend breakfast on porridge. With berries. For those of us in the United States, that would be cream of wheat or some oatmeal for
okay.
us.
Okay.
Because we're
okay.
not going to do porridge.
Yeah.
That sounds like something from, like, the poorhouse in a
yeah.
Dickens novel.
Yeah.
You know?
Or something Three Bears might have in the
yes.
cupboard.
It says, this diet is essential to helping you on the road to recovery. You can drink a lot of orange juice to build up your vitamin C, or you can throw some antioxidant-packed mixed berries into the bowl of porridge.
Or have some oranges.
Oh, yeah, just have some oranges. At 10 a.m., they're saying, I guess you're still at home, steam your face.
Ooh.
So you can do it with just water, or you can, you know, you could do, put a tea in there or whatever herbs and spices you want in the water and kind of steam your face over.
Like sit at the bathroom sink and have
mm-hmm.
it come over your face. Clean out your sink first.
Clean out your sink
and
first.
And then also rinse whatever you clean the sink with first.
Or
so you,
you
don't
can,
have bleach coming up in your
you
face.
You can do it with a huge, like
a
pot
yeah.
and put, you know, put a towel over your head and take it that way.
That's a good one. Yes.
They said by midday you should go for a stroll. You got to get your, boost your immune system, you know, get some fresh energy pumping in there, all that kind of stuff. It says if you have a head cold with a runny nose and mild symptoms, and I've had several doctors tell me this too, still exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you feel, if the cold is coming on, still go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You're okay. You're not contagious at that point. You're going to be fine. And it's also might kick the cold away.
Yes.
At 1 p.m., it says, forget about a sandwich. Opt instead for a chicken Caesar salad for some reason. It says don't have the regular sandwich and chips. You want some protein. So like a lean chicken and a salad. The protein is going to help boost your immune cells. And then it says here, people who cut meat out of their diet suffer with more frequent and longer lasting colds. I don't know about that. I don't have colds a lot, but maybe it's if you're eating meat regularly and then you cut it out. Mm-hmm. 3 p.m. It says put the kettle on. They're putting here lots of herbal tea or freshly squeezed orange juice. Once again, it said the orange juice won't affect you right away, but it's setting up vitamin C for later.
Okay.
6 p.m. Eat a curry.
Oh.
Spicy food.
It's just a spicy food. You don't have to have curry.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be curry in particular.
Something spicy like spicy. Sriracha,
and they said
buffalo,
if you can't get that far, just add ginger, garlic, or chili to whatever it is that you're eating. Then 8 p.m., soak. Take a hot bath. Mm-hmm. Back in the bath again. And then go to bed and get 8 hours of sleep. And that supposedly should, if you follow this regimen, it should chase the cold away.
Oh, that sounds great.
There's nothing more annoying to me. It's usually on the subway when I get on and I'm feeling fine and then someone's sneezing next to me. And then by the time I get home, I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I'm also starting to feel it as well. So the next time that happens to me, I'm going to try that. I get angry. I look at people. I'm like, how dare you?
How dare you sneeze?
Yes, how dare you sneeze into your scarf or into the crook of your arm or something like that. You know what I mean? Like sneezing into your hand on the subway.
Oh, yeah. That's
and then you just put your hands all over stuff on the subway?
Yeah. I agree with that. I thought you meant you were going to glare at them for sneezing, having an involuntary body reaction.
How dare you, sir? Sneezing. All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
Tales from Der Campfire is my favorite segment, wherein we find tales on the internet of ghost stories, the paranormal, urban legends. Ghost stories?
Yeah, scary stuff.
And we retell them here around the digital campfire, so
gather around, listeners. This one is called My Parents' House Was Haunted.
Okay, damn it. Is it an exclamation point?
No, I put that in there.
Emphasis, and, Katie Casper.
Yes, it takes place in New York, and the author is a middle-aged adult.
What is that? Are those choices?
These are all choices.
Okay.
When you ever hear me say that, they could say young adult, middle-aged adult, senior.
It's interesting. I wonder, do they plug in their age and then it spits out what they are?
All right. So the date that it was posted is 2014. So they're middle aged 2014 in New York.
All right.
Here we go. We're set. One night I was taking a hot shower and I had the bathroom window, which was above the tub, open to get a little steam out.
Okay.
There was fresh fallen snow as I turned off the water.
Really? Yeah.
I heard crunching in the snow. I looked out of the window and there was a teenage boy running through our backyard with only a denim jacket instead of a coat.
Okay.
I dried off and got into my pajamas quickly and went into the kitchen and told my parents. My father went outside with a flashlight to see who it may be and became very pale.
Was it someone in a Canadian jumpsuit? I mean, a Canadian tuxedo?
Offended by the sense of style, really.
Yes. Jean on jean, not in my house.
Yeah.
Not in my yard.
My mother and I asked him what was wrong, and he told us there was no footprints in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing I would not make up such a thing, my mother told me I saw my first ghost. Now, I find this refreshing. This is me talking here, because usually the parents are like, telling stories.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, but the parents are like, right off the bat, like, that was a ghost.
Honey, she's seen it. The first ghost. Roll out the barrel.
I have never been afraid of my basement when I was young, but gradually, as I got closer to my 20s, I started feeling uneasy down there,
mm-hmm.
as if someone was watching me and didn't like me.
Okay.
My sister's...
That's your 20s, all right.
Yeah.
There it is, right there.
My sister's got the same feeling as did my mother, and my brother and father didn't feel anything.
They moved on. They didn't care about society.
They're numb emotionally.
Yeah.
So they're like
they that. Shut down years ago.
At the time, my mother became a member of a psychic group and encouraged me to join.
What's a psychic group? A
group of psychics. Get together.
Like the mom. That means the mom is a psychic as well. Okay.
Yeah. Basically, the leaders of the group were teaching us how to meditate and bring out our gifts.
Okay.
To make a long story short, we had a ghost hunt at the house, and the spirit in the basement didn't like women, especially me.
Wow.
One night, my sister and her friend were at our house, nobody else but me. I went to the basement.
Some misogynist ghost.
I know, right?
The nerve.
They're all coming out, especially with this newest administration.
Even the ghosts are misogynist.
Even the ghosts are like, women, blah. Oh, yeah. They're all, well. One night, my sister and a friend were at the house, nobody else but me. I went to the basement to do a load of laundry, and as I was going up the steps, I felt the spirit watching as
easy,
I got to the top.
Easy, it's a family show.
As I got to the top of the stairs, I couldn't open the door. The only lock was a flimsy sliding one that was put up because I was a sleepwalker a few years ago and had walked into the basement.
This is a great story. All right, I like this.
I put my shoulder into it and couldn't get it open. I felt someone approaching, and I slammed my body into the flimsy plywood door with a frame, and it felt like I hit a brick wall.
Wow.
Finally, I said, God, please help me. And the door opened when I turned the knob. I thought my sister played a trick on me.
She didn't try the knob first? Is that what, did I hear that correctly?
No, she couldn't get the door open. She didn't say she turned the knob, okay. But we're going to assume. We're going to be going in.
Because it sounds like to me she just started running up against it, and then she was like, oh, shit, the knob.
Yeah. So I thought my sisters were playing a trick on me, but they were outside having a cigarette, and my sister's friend freaked out.
I love these people. They were like, well, we were outside having a smoke.
Yeah.
We heard some mess coming from the house.
My sister started a band with a friend of mine and a friend of hers. They would practice in our basement. One night they were practicing, and as usual, I would hang out with them. We went upstairs to take a break, and my mother...
Well, misogynists don't like women who rock,
yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
They don't. And my mother and I told the boys about the ghost in the basement. The guys were like, yeah, right.
In unison.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Nah. Maybe he doesn't like your tunes. Maybe it's not about being women, it's about being shitty musicians.
Yeah, right.
And smokers.
They went back downstairs to continue the practice. They came running back up the stairs. When we asked them what was wrong, they said that all the instruments had been moved when they went back down.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so they weren't going to go back down to pack them unless I went with them. They packed up.
Wow, what was she going to do?
I know. See? Right. See? Come running.
Yes.
Come running. When everything gets tough, come running.
Right.
Ah.
You're like, no, can't help you. I'm outside smoking a cigarette.
Yes. They packed up and didn't practice in our basement ever again.
Wow.
The house is still haunted. My son, White Wolf, spent the night there several times, and each time he was touched. Years ago, we were told that the house has a window for spirits to come into and leave this realm. So it's a portal.
I just got to say, by the way, White Wolf is an awesome name.
I know. That's why I liked it, too. I'm sure. I think it's just a screen name, but I'm hoping
it's their real name. Yeah. Maybe they're Native American something. Or maybe they're just awesome.
Yeah.
I went to school with a kid named Packy Wolf.
Oh.
That's a cool
name. I love that name, Packy.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense as we have an underground stream under the back of the house and plenty of crystal quartz in the yard. After my parents died, my youngest sister lived in the house. And she did a short sale and sold it to a man who renovated it and flipped it. I have no idea if he knows it's haunted because my sister never told him. And I never met him.
She didn't disclose?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to, though.
You don't have to. Oh, now you do. Now, if you know that a house is haunted or somebody died in it, you have to say.
But they don't know. They don't know for sure that it's haunted.
Yeah. Well,
what if you tell someone the house is haunted? They get there like, I haven't seen shit. I want my money back. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's like, how do you qualify it?
Yeah. Well, I think you have to say it because then if people really experience something, it's like, you didn't tell me.
But I guess I'm just thinking it's weird as a realtor if you're like, look, by the way,
this
house is crazy haunted. And then you're like, I don't think I want to work with you anymore. Yeah. Like, depending on how you feel about
ghosts. Well, I think if I were a realtor, I'd have to frame it in a way. Here, the background of the house, people have stories about it and they say it's haunted.
Yeah, they say it's haunted.
Yeah.
The word on the street is.
But the thing about this story is they talk about quartz and they talk about the underground stream.
Yeah.
Now, the quartz is supposed to repel demonic spirits. An underground stream suggests the existence of a portal. So if there's an underground stream somewhere, that could be bringing in spirits.
Through the basement.
Yeah. But demonic spirit, I don't know if quartz repels it. I think that quartz amplifies it as well.
I was going to say, we're going to have to look up this one.
Yeah.
Because I know that some crystals do purport to have qualities that repel ghosts.
Okay, but some bring
it
in.
But some amplify, like you say.
Like the house from, oh, not the house, the hotel from The Shining. You know the movie and the book, The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
It was based on a real hotel in Colorado.
Which is creepy.
And it's creepy, and people say that it is haunted, and it's built on a lot of crystal, has a lot of quartz in the bedrock.
Oh.
Underneath.
And so they're saying that's what draws the evil spirits to it?
Oh, yeah, or like the spirits, everything is amplified there. And they get also a lot of residual hauntings because
why not? It's like a mecca for ghosts.
Yeah.
If you're a ghost, this is where you want to be.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I just found out yesterday that I go to a writing space in Midtown, and it's an 8-story building that's very, very old. Uh-huh. And I just happened to ask some of the people there, are there any haunted, any hauntings or any stories? I said, no, they think there were some stories about it being haunted. And I was saying, this building's always seemed very creepy to me. And at the end of the conversation, the guy was like, if you think this part of the building is creepy, you should see the basement. I was like, what the F? Ooh. I had no idea. There's no indication in this building that there's anything underneath. That there's a basement or anything.
Not even in the lowest, the lobby?
No, I don't remember. Door? And I walked around. I haven't seen anything that says that there's a basement. But the building is very, very old. It's over, I think it's like over 150 years. I mean, it's very, very, very old.
What's so creepy about the basement?
The fact that it's there is creepy.
You know what we should do? We should go and explore a haunted area and come back and report.
And see what happens.
We're going to step it up a notch in 2017.
We're going to go out and do our own EVP.
Yeah.
We're going to download an app. Yeah, we should try to find something haunted and try to provoke, maybe we can get a guest out of it. Maybe we can get the haunted, whatever it is, the haunting or the haunter to come to the studio.
Oh, I don't want it coming here.
Unless how can nice. We stop it? Unless it's nice. I mean, a lot of people seem nice
at first.
How
can we do that to Funkadelic Studios?
I don't know. There might already be something in here.
Oh, right. The ghost in the bathroom. There is supposedly a ghost in the ladies' room.
Yep.
She's a white ghost.
It's a white lady ghost.
Yeah.
Who wants the one stall?
Yeah.
The haunted commode. I'm Funkadelic.
Hey, you know it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10th spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
So it's winter time, and we were talking about doing sports-related things outside.
Yes.
So I did a little bit of research on ice swimming.
Which is
becoming more and more popular.
Okay.
There is actually a society of ice swimmers in the United States, and last year they had their first competition.
Oh.
So basically ice swimming is exactly what it sounds like. You get into some water that's cold as hell.
Oh.
And you try to swim as long as you can, as quickly as you can, just like you would in regular swimming. So the competition, there's two guys here I was reading about, they do ice swimming, and they say the benefits are, not just them, but a lot of people say the benefits are improved cardiovascular and lymphatic circulation.
Mm-hmm.
So your lymphs are very, the lymph system is very important to the body,
mm-hmm.
and one of the best ways to activate it is to have a massage, because it can't really activate itself on its own. But swimming in ice water or taking an ice bath also activates it.
Oh.
So you get benefits from that. A lot of circulation.
I'll go for the massage.
Yeah, I'll go for the massage too. But it also reduces muscle fatigue. And it's supposed to give you better mental health. So it has some antidepressive effects.
Oh.
But then you're cold. So, it's a trade-off, right? It's a trade-off.
You're cold and miserable, but you feel good about it.
But you feel good about it. You're optimistic about it. It also can promote weight loss.
Oh.
So this guy was saying he was already, kind of getting into shape, but he started swimming, and he lost 25 pounds since regularly swimming in the cold
water.
In one day. His foot froze off.
Yeah.
So they said that taking cold showers and ice baths every day are a way to prepare for ice swimming. So you shouldn't just jump into the first cold lake you see. You have to get your body and your mind ready. So taking the cold showers and ice baths let your mind know that this is okay to be extremely cold like this.
Okay.
And that you should not panic, basically.
Okay.
And you should not start shutting things down. You have to be really careful, because you can only really be in the water swimming for like 30 minutes before you get too cold and you can have hypothermia. This guy says what they do is they walk into the cold water up to their waist.
Okay.
And then they wait for a few minutes. Because you have your body has to, you know,
adjust to it. Or else you're going to be shocked.
Then they said they inched in up to the chest and stood there for a little while. And then they started swimming after 5 minutes. So it takes 5 minutes to get into the water.
Okay.
Then you started swimming. He said that after 10 minutes, you started to feel comfortable.
I don't know. I think comfortable is a generous word.
He said after 20 minutes, you get cold and then you have to get out. So these two guys who are, by the way, ex-Navy SEALs. So it's not exactly like they're just regular people.
Yeah.
These are guys who can take a lot of pain and, you know, have a lot of endurance. Their goal is to do a 1 mile open water ice swim.
Ooh.
But this kind of swimming is done all over the world. Apparently it's catching on.
Okay.
In the U.S. as well. And they're saying that for, especially for older people, this is a really good way to just like anti-aging and to stay fit in the wintertime. I'm not going to be doing this. I'm just telling you right now. I remember where I'm from, the water is warm. Same thing with you for the most part. When it gets cold, we don't go in anymore.
Yeah, no.
You don't go in the cold water. Wetsuit. Or something like that.
Ridiculousness.
I would never, ever get into cold water and start swimming. I love to swim, but in my mind, like, even when I go to a pool, I like that to be heated.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
let's just keep it real.
Warm water.
It's already bad enough as it is.
And if it's cold, I mean, maybe if it's a really hot day on the beach and the water's a little cool, that's okay.
This is cold, though.
Yeah, I don't want
that. Like, there's ice in this water. No. Ice water swimming. The ice part.
We'll get our lymphs. Moving along with massage. And pleasant thoughts.
With hot toddies. I think maybe that activates my limbs.
Yeah. All right. You know, there are some people who are winter people and people who are summer people.
I like both.
Yeah. I like winter more.
Okay. But and you like summer too,
yeah,
though, right?
I do. I like, to an extent. I have a friend who loves the summer and I love the winter. And every year we pass the torch to each other.
Really?
Yeah.
We do. I've never seen this other friend. That's how well it works. When the summer is over, she disappears.
I'll get a text or something saying, it is your time now. Your power is rising. You know,
enjoy.
Yeah, and I'll do the same for her as it gets warm again. I'm like, oh, my power's waning.
Does she hate winter?
She really doesn't like it.
Okay.
No. But here is, she just wonders, why do you love winter? And here are five reasons why people love the winter.
Okay. I'll see if any of these coincide with why I love the winter.
Okay. Psychological security. Everything you experience affects your mood and psychological state. In winter, people usually close the windows, lock the doors, turn the heaters on. And as a result, the person isolates himself in a small area inside the house, and it makes the subconscious mind believe they're safe from threats.
Wow. Okay. I like it. I mean, I consider that to be cozy.
Yes. Right? Stress gets reduced. The person feels more secure and then believes he loves the cold weather.
That's how I felt when we went up to Northern Norway.
Yeah. Because
I was like, all
you're
snug.
You're really just safe and secure. Yeah. You don't love the cold weather.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
we were all snug inside this wonderful hotel and we had like a great view of like the cold. Yeah. And I was like, this is fantastic. I love this.
I love the winter. Yeah. No, you love being inside.
I like being inside. Yeah. I never thought of it that way.
I didn't either. Number two is reduced guilt. On a sunny day, people find no excuses to delay important work, not to go to the gym or see friends.
Oh, I do. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to let something like a sunny day stop me from procrastinating.
But in the cold weather, things become different. When someone drops an activity on a cold day, he usually feels less guilty than if he does it on a sunny day.
That's true. And you know what? Let's extend that to New Yorkers who are like, I'd like to come to this party, bar, show, meal, whatever, but it's cold. As if you're going to be, I mean, all we know in New York, all people do is get out the house and then get on the subway.
Yeah.
And then get out the subway and go to the place they're going. Yeah. It's not like we're in the nook of the north.
Right.
But if it's cold, same thing with rain. If it's raining and cold, forget it.
Oh, yeah.
No one's going anywhere. You might as well cancel your party.
Yeah. Number three is called, I'm not missing anything. Sometimes a person feels...
That's number three.
Yeah.
I ain't missing shit.
I'm not missing anything. Sometimes a person feels unhappy at home because of knowing that he's missing something that is happening out there. Having the FOMO.
Okay. Fear
of missing out.
FOMO. That just sounds
I have
like
FOMO
a slow...
A lot.
You lousy FOMO.
Yeah. If your friends are at the beach and you're at home, then you're very likely to feel bad. But if everyone is forced to stay at home, you're not missing anything.
Okay.
Saying, like, everyone's home because it's cold. Nothing's going on. I don't care.
I don't care.
Number five is social isolation. Extroverts
Thumbs up.
Well, extroverts hate the cold. unless they want to go skiing or do an outdoor activity.
Okay.
Introverts, on the hand, enjoy staying alone and have no problem spending a day or two inside their house.
I am more than happy to do that. Sometimes I wish there were a gym in my apartment because that's the, sometimes in the winter, because I work from home frequently, the only reason I have to go out is for the gym. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
So that's, and I think that's for a lot of people. Like, you go to your work and then you go to the gym and then you go home.
Yeah. You know what? I tried to make one of my, my second bedroom into like a little exercise area to do yoga.
Did it work?
Sure. It's fine, okay. But it stinks.
Yeah.
Then you don't want to go in there because it stinks.
I was going to say, I've worked out a couple times. I'm like, woo.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about this. That's, now it's humid and stank in here.
Yeah. Oh, it's nasty.
No, it's not good.
Yeah.
Because our homes are not equipped for that. We don't have the ventilation systems. And you realize that, oh, that's why I pay this money to go to the gym. So it doesn't smell like a foot in here.
Yeah.
Like a pit. I love it.
All right. Number five here is reduce stress. Mm-hmm. With less noise on the streets, so many closed shops and restaurants, people get the feeling life has slowed down its pace, and they feel more relaxed and less stressed.
I have to say, I really enjoyed in the wintertime when there is a lot of snow that actually sticks. It does, like, quiet the city in a nice way. And I like to say, when it's really cold outside, it keeps the weak off the streets.
Yeah.
And I don't need that.
Yes, only the strong go out there. I'm like, I know I'm with my people out in the winter.
And then we're those of us who are properly attired and who are ready to be out there. And you don't have to barrel through the city in the same way. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like, you know.
Yeah, you own it. The city.
You work Fifth Avenue. Yeah. It is yours.
And you have
for the taking.
Yes.
I like it. I found this was so bizarre. It is a 5,000 fish in ice at Japanese skating rink sparks an uproar. So for some bizarre reason, this ice skating rink, or it's an ice aquarium, quote unquote, it says, an attraction never heard about.
What?
Worst translation ever. I mean.
Nobody, this is an attraction that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the city of Kita, Kyushu, people were upset because they came to the rink to skate, and they looked down, and there were 5,000 frozen fish in the ice.
Wow.
And people went nuts.
Is this a man-made rink?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a man-made rink. And people were like, what the hell? Like, this is terrifying. This is disgusting. I can't believe you killed all these fish. So they showed it on Japanese television. It was frozen fish in ice on a blue floor, so it looked like they were swimming. Some of the fish formed a school that spelled out the word hello.
Help.
Yes. And then the other group of fish was shaped into an arrow in the ice.
Help. Get us out of here.
Yes. So what happened is the general manager of Space World, Toshimo Takeda, said many critical messages were posted on social media, some condemning the concept as abusing living things.
Yeah.
But then she responded, or he responded, that the fish had been intended to give the feel of skating on the ocean, and that the fish were dead. They bought dead fish and put them in. So they went to a fish market, purchased 5,000 dead fish, and then arranged them.
Oh, right.
In that way. But they didn't tell people that.
Okay.
So people assumed that they killed actual fish. Anyway, people got, and this might be a cultural thing that is just really offensive to Japanese people. I don't particularly care for it. I think it's kind of creepy. But the fish were dead already.
Yeah.
Anyway, they said the fish were purchased from a fish market and were dead before the water was frozen. And they're planning on taking the fish out, and they're having a memorial service for the fish.
All right.
People were really upset about this.
Okay. Well, that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
If you're going to make money off anything dead.
Yes.
And expose the body, no matter what it is.
Show some respect.
That's not right.
But it's also, I think they underestimate, like, I can understand what they were thinking. Like, this is going to look cool.
Yeah.
But then when people came and brought their children, and the children were looking down at 5,000 frozen fish.
Dead fish.
And some of them in the shape of the word hello.
Yeah. Well, they should have had, like, artificial fish, like stuffed fish or something, or plastic
fish.
Or
maybe they could have painted something on the floor, and then,
that would have been
you
lovely.
Know, put something over it.
So apparently, an actual dead fish.
People weren't having it, so they had to take the fish out.
In the house that I grew up in, we had a pond in the backyard, and it was about an acre long, the pond.
That was
and
pretty so big.
It's pretty big, and you can, in the wintertime, the pond froze over, and we could ice skate on it. The pond went down to about 18 feet in the center.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty deep in the center. I mean, it was like kind of a...
Is that usual in your area? Are there a lot of ponds?
There's a lot of ponds.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. But there were fish in the pond and other wildlife and things that lived underneath.
Yeah.
One winter, it was very, very cold, and the pond froze over, and it froze so thick and so deep that went down, that it starved the fish from the oxygen in the water.
Oh, no. And they all died.
And we, of course, didn't know this. There's nothing anybody could do about this.
No, when they thawed out.
It thawed out. All these dead fish rose to the surface. Right?
That's terrible.
Okay. So without the fish in the pond, the frogs multiplied at an alarming rate because there was nobody, no fish to eat.
There's no one to check them. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So frogs, just like bloop, bloop, you know, gribbling and the noise was deafening.
There goes the neighborhood.
The neighbors would call and be like, Casimir's, do something about your frogs.
Oh, because you guys are responsible for the pond?
Yeah, it's our pond.
Jeez. And
so now that there's a surplus of frogs, what comes?
Birds.
Snakes. Snakes.
It's biblical.
Everywhere.
Wow, I never thought about that.
Coming by to eat the frogs.
The frogs. And then
snakes.
What?
Well, that okay. was that kind was of where it ended. Until we restocked the pond with some, put through a few fish in there and said, you know, do something.
The snakes were like, we're it. We're the end of this.
Snakes were, I remember there was a sandbox that we had in the backyard. And they were hanging over the sandbox, like sunning themselves.
You guys
and
have
they
been were creeped out.
All around the rim of the pond, they would sun themselves.
Snakes, just snakes. Chilling.
Yeah. But it was in the grass, and so you really couldn't see them unless you were right on them.
It's like Club Med.
So I would put on my sneakers and go as a young child.
As a young Katie Casimir. An ingenue.
Yeah, it would be my adventure. I'd go on like I was in the jungle, and there were the snakes, and I'd walk around the pond, and the snakes would like slither into the water. I'm like, I'm in the jungle.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I had no idea that your pond, full disclosure, I've never even seen a picture of where Katie is from. I have no idea. I could probably Google it and see. So I have no idea what the landscape is like at all.
Oh, okay.
In my mind, you live in the suburbs, and in my mind, a suburb to me has nothing in it. It's just like a mess of cul-de-sacs with the same house over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah. I never think about it having, you know, actual space. But it's an older suburb, right? So
older,
there's more, the properties are, I guess, more spread out than they are for suburbs now where each person gets like, a quarter acre?
Yeah.
And the house is a quarter acre.
Something like that. Yeah, We had like an acre. So it was, it was sizable. And, but that was my game.
Was being in the jungle
with the snakes, and I didn't need an iPad.
Now, does this go into the right? What you know? Did you give us any Rudyard Kipling jungle stories like you did about the trenches? Which, by the way, what happened to the rest of that story?
Oh, listeners, Jaquetta's referencing a story from last year where I unearthed my award, my first place story. I had a creative writing class in high school, and I wrote a story, and I won first prize. And
because, she wrote about life in the trenches.
Yeah, about war.
In World War II.
Yeah, that's what it's.
It was about a young black man.
There was a black guy, an Irish guy, a Latino guy.
Down in the trenches.
All in the trenches, yeah.
How did Latino get down there?
Yeah, down there.
He just was in there.
There was a Jewish guy.
Everybody was multicultural. It's kind of like a Benetton trench.
Yeah.
I like it.
There was Jackson in there.
That's right, Jackson. There were also these sizable rats.
Yeah, sizable rats that would feed up on the dead soldiers.
Yes, they were eating people.
Yeah.
And singing songs, amongst other things. And on that note, happy winter, everybody.
Yeah, happy winter, Skull. Stay cozy.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. New Yorker. You're stuck up there like... you know, I can have a nice fresh espresso from this.
Yeah, because the tampons, you take the tampon and you fuzz it out.
Make
a
filter.
And that's great. Now it's kindling.
Oh, it's kindling.
And a filter. Oh, my
okay.
God.
Okay. Wow. We could have a nice little espresso up there.
And then you could take the pencil and put it over two sticks, but you're fine there. I'm telling you.
And lash it together with hair or
yeah.
string.
Yeah.
Wow. They died up here, but they had damn fine coffee before they went. Like, somehow they got a Sweet and Low packet up there, because you know Jaquetta was up there, and she always has a Sweet and Low.
It's a regular brood.
Yes.
Super.
With an organic tampon.
Yes. Okay.